Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Everybody can talk, everybody can promise, but when you put them on the chair, and I realize that talking is not doing, all right? So some people may not really be able to say these words the way she has said them, but they are living that life practically. And this life is for living. Hallelujah. So please, I want to encourage you, go back. I'm still going to do the same. In fact, I'm going to personally edit this video of the first service. I'll do it. I won't tell the media. I'll do it myself. For myself. And put it on YouTube again. So that I can be listening to it when I like. Alright? But it's really something we should be interested in. Because the strength of a believer's life is the will of God. That's your strength. The moment you wake up and you cannot say, where you are standing now, God knows about it. You are in trouble. I've counseled with women who said to me, from the when we to the hotel rooms, they said to me, when we got to the hotel room after our wedding, I knew I made a mistake. Like not 1 year after, not 2 years, say the same week that they entered, I realized I was married to a cultist. But the guy was wearing suit and coming to the church then as a Christian. And because she didn't want the pastor to say no, she made sure she was already in love. So that the pastor would not want to offend them. They just joined them. And now she's separated. She's divorced. The guy too is still in the church. She too is in the church, but they are divorced. So what she's saying might sound very hard. Huh? It's better for me to fail, believing that I did the will of God. Thinking that I did the will of God. Rather than choose my own way. And then I'll not be able to go to God. Because I know what I did in my mind. So please go back and listen to that message. It's a tough one. But chloroquine is not sweet. So, but you still have to. I know you can't take chloroquine with Coca-Cola. It will not work. You can insert it into a bar. Okay, some of you have not eaten Eba in a long time. But if you are like me, if I put chloroquine into Eba, in my mind, I'm still tasting that. Oh, the day I heard that the federal government banned chloroquine, I was the happiest person in the world. In the whole world, though, not even in Nigeria, because that thing is very evil. So I'm so glad with the way she presented it. And she was also able to share some of her own personal stories just for you to know that we all go through these challenges, all right? But the testimony is that we will always be victorious. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the word of the Lord that came to me about 3 weeks ago is that it is time. Yeah. So when I come back to preaching in this church, when I start preaching in this church again, that is one of the first messages I will preach. God said it is time. So some of you have passed the test of waiting. So it's now time for God to show himself in your life. Come on, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so today's service, first, second service, belongs to the women. Amen. So bringing the word of God, this service is no other than Sister Wumi.
Hallelujah. We thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. We thank you because the table is set. We thank you because you will feed us. Thank you because we will be full. Thank you because we are not alone. On this mountain, we are not alone. Lord, touch everyone today. Bring us into encounters with your word. And help us, O Lord. Our hearts are open to you. Fill us up. Fill us up, O God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Benga. I guess I didn't say it well, Abby. It didn't flow. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Buki, for the message this morning. It was apt. We thank God for his word living in our midst. Exodus chapter 17. We're going to be talking, and for the first time, I have a title. It's Victory in Contention. Victory in the midst of contention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus 17, I prefer the Amplified Version. From verse 1. And all the congregation of the Israelites moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, according to the commandment of the Lord, according to the will of the Lord, according to the leading of the Lord, according to the directions of the Lord, according to how God led them. This morning, there's been a lot of talk about the will of the Father. And so at this very point, even though the Israelites made a lot of mistakes in their journey, at this particular point, they were in alignment with the will of God. They were in alignment with his will. They were walking in his will. They took a journey according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Please put the scripture up. And encamped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Now they were walking in alignment. They were walking according to the will of the Lord. And at a point, the Lord led them and they camped at Rephidim. Now, the real meaning of Rephidim is a place of rest. So I'm not surprised that while they were taking that journey, it just seemed, logical that they actually found themselves led by the Lord into a place of rest. If you want to go on holiday or to want any resort, I'm sure one of the things you look out for will be, how comfortable it is. You check the remarks on Google. You check Google, what's it called? Google reviews to see what the food looks like, the rooms, how comfortable it is. So they came to the place of rest. But unfortunately, contrary to their expectation or contrary to how the place is named, they got into the place where there was no water for them to drink. So how do you rest when you do not have a major source of life? What contradiction? When you come to a place of rest, but the necessary thing that you need is found wanting. They had no water to drink. Please go on with the scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember I was reading with one of the kids this week, and he was studying about the planetary bodies. And one of the major features of the moon is that in the moon, there is neither air nor water. Even the world does not make so much fuss about the lack of food in the moon. Remember when Pastor Tope was ministering some weeks back, he also gave an analogy, he gave us, you know, insight into the fact that you can live longer without food compared to water. So that is to show you that this is a very serious and necessary matter that they were confronted with. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you find fault with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" Their argument, their request was valid. "Give us water. Children cannot survive without water. They are either drinking or playing with it." So they probably had their kids running up and down, crying, yelling. They needed to do one or two things with water, and water was not available. And they kept saying, "Give us water that we may drink." You know, but Moses was shocked. "Why are you coming to me? I'm also affected. I also need water." Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, "But the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses." They thirsted. So they were in a place of rest, but they were experiencing dryness. They were in a place of rest, but they were experiencing drought. They were in a place of rest, but they could not actually rest. So they thirsted for water. They had a lack that needed urgent attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible recalls that Moses said, they told Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt?" Now, some of the natural instincts that we have, or I call it our default setting, when we are faced with challenges, number one, you tend to murmur, complain. Complaining. There is a thin line between murmuring, complaining, and narrating a negative experience, because sometimes people think they are not murmuring. You think you are just saying the cost of fuel is now very low. Oh, the cost of living in Lagos or Nigeria is now terrible. How do people survive? How can we survive? How will our family survive? You think you are analyzing the country, but you are actually murmuring. It's a thin line. You would have crossed it before you knew it. And, you know, Sister Buki was teaching us this morning about our subconscious mind. It's a thing that just comes naturally to you. It's not like you planned to murmur. You didn't plan to complain against God. "God, why me? Why am I still at this level? Why are things happening this way? Why have things not changed? Why am I still faced with this challenge?" You think you are asking God for answers, but you are actually, God is already looking at you and he's seen a murmurer. He's seen a complainer. Hallelujah. So some of the default response that we exhibit when we are faced with challenges: one, murmuring. They murmured against Moses. Two, they blamed Moses. In the first instance, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt?" And you know, sometimes, and we've seen situations where people actually got words of prophecies, and then in the long run, it probably doesn't happen the way they expect or within the timing they were expecting. And they begin to blame the person who gave the prophecy. "Oh, have you not seen such situations before? But Pastor told me that this year I will get a new job. How come this is already October and I've not gotten the job?" They blamed their leader. They needed somebody to vent against. So they went against their leader. They blamed their leader. It's easy sometimes to just pass the buck. You look around you, things are not working, and you look at where next to turn it to. They murmured, they blamed their leader. The third thing they did, they forgot about their past testimonies. These people were just coming from the Red Sea, where the Lord parted the sea and drowned the armies of Egypt. And they saw it. They weren't asleep when it happened. They saw the deliverance of God. But just if, because they didn't have water at their next destination. Now, if you look at the records, if you go back to Exodus, I think from chapter 14, 15, you will see that after they left the Red Sea, they got to a point where they had bitter water. And then the Lord helped them. The water became sweet by the interventions of the Lord. And they had water. And at the next point, the Bible records that they had 12 wells, 12 fountains of water. So there had never been a time that God left them without water. There had never been a time that they had issues and God did not show up for them. But they forgot their testimonies. And sometimes we tend to do such. You forget how God had delivered you in time past? When David was facing Saul and Saul said, you are too young, you can't do this. The only tool David had to win that argument was his testimony about how he tore the lion into two, how he defeated the bear by the hands of the Lord. It was his testimonies. And when he was toe-to-toe with Goliath, he stood on two pillars. One was his testimony. The second one was the sovereignty of the Lord. But the Israelites came into this period and there was no water. And you know, they just forgot about the deliverance God had given them in time past. They forgot about their testimonies. They became blind to the goodness of God. And at that point, they just needed to blame someone. Hallelujah. And you probably want to say, oh, it's logical. Because at a point, they were staring at death. So what did Moses do? Verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, so verse 4, Moses cried to the Lord. Now Moses went to seek God's face. Moses probably was someone who was used to having these issues, these encounters, and then he knew already to just go seek the face of the Lord. So Moses went to seek the face of the Lord, to ask the Lord, what should we do? What should I do to these people? What should we do? Okay, there is no water. But you know, in seeking the face of the Lord, there was a reality that dawned on Moses. In seeking the face of the Lord, of course, the Lord told Moses what to do. Go to the mountain and strike with the rod. I'll be waiting there for you, and then water can come. But at the point where Moses was seeking the Lord, Moses came into an understanding that the issues the Israelites were facing was not just water. It was an issue of contention in the place of rest. When there is contention, what you see will be the symptoms of the contention. You probably won't see the main issue. So you notice that as you are coming out from one, another one is raising its head. And then you are coming out from that, another one is coming up again. So what Moses did was to thoroughly seek the face of the Lord. And at that point, it became clear that the Israelites were in a season of contention, even though they were in the place of rest. It's just like when you have malaria. You begin to have headache, you have cold, sore throat, what else? Pain in the body. If you go to the pharmacy and you purchase paracetamol for headache, some of us have become pharmacists. Paracetamol for headache, Dequadin for sore throat, cold, you buy Piritin or Loratidine. The nurses here are greeting me, well done, right? Thank you very much. And the body pain, you buy Aboniki. If you stay on this medication, you are treating the symptoms that you can feel, but the malaria, which is the underlying issue, is still there. The headache will stop for some days. The cold will cease for some days. The body pain may stop for a few hours, but give it another 24 hours. The malaria will show up again. That is what it means to be in a season of contention. You know, I always remember when Pastor tries to analyze and he says, maybe you have 1,222 naira, 15 kobo. I don't know how he gets all that and he puts kobo in it. But you know, sometimes you just look at yourself, you're broke, you've applied for like 10 jobs, 9 has come back rejected. The 10th one that they've not rejected, you know you're not qualified. You know they may not accept you. So even though you're waiting in faith, but you know that one is not sure. Then maybe you're beginning to have some symptoms, you're not feeling well, and everything, the world seems crashing down on you just in a moment. That is not the right time to attend a financial awareness seminar because you are broke. How to take care of your health and be fit because you are feeling sick. Your relationship just got scattered. You probably were in a relationship and the brother or the sister just sent you a voice note, not even a call, a voice note to say, I'm no longer interested. Then you begin to schedule yourself into 3 different seminars. No. Because remember what we said, or what I said at the beginning, they were walking according to the will of God. So this is not a matter of living in sin. They were walking in alignment with God's will. And then all of these issues started coming up. It was because they were in a season of contention. And how do I know? Now, before we even go further, let me see. Contention is best described as a contest, as dispute. Now, in contention, there is a possibility of you winning because there will always be a winner and a loser. So in that season, there is a possibility of you winning, depending on how you address or manage the situation. Verse 7, that same chapter. How do I know they were in a season of contention? After Moses spoke with the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do, Moses named the place Massa. Massa meaning proof. Massa meaning whatever you do here, you can actually come out with a testimony. Whatever you do here, you can actually prevail. You can actually win. And Meribah, contention. So if you look at the two words put together, it means that in this season of contention, depending on how God helps you, you can either have proof of God's faithfulness or you can fail in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what happened? If you go further in verse 8, the Amalekites showed up. It became a full-blown war. That was how I knew that the major issue they had was not the lack of water. But the Israelites were myopic. It was just the water issue they saw. They were the kind of people who would want to take the issues one at a time. See, if you adopt this strategy of maybe you're faced with like four or five challenges at the same time and you're facing God in prayer for this one and then the next one you rise again and then the third time the issues come again and you start fasting and praying, the fourth one you are driven, you will become spiritually fatigued. You will lose your strength. You will lose your energy. You will become discouraged. Because in the long run, the only thing the devil will succeed in doing to you is convincing you that God is not faithful. Why are you the only one? Why am I the only one not having water? The same time the Amalekites are after my life. Why am I the only one facing all these battles? Why am I the only one losing on all sides? Why am I the only one not having a good job? People come around you, you see them happy. Why am I the only one not happy? If you're not careful, you will lose sight of God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. But that is not our portion in the name of Jesus. So the water was not the major issue. The low account balance is not your major issue. The health problem is not the major issue. The issue is that you are in a season of contention. Now, what did God tell Moses? In the course of Moses' interaction with God, you know, sometimes when you read the Bible, sometimes you don't really get the verse, and the Lord told Moses. Let's go to verse 9. After the Amalekites had come in verse 8, and Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hands. So Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and all went up to the hilltop. When Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. And when he lowered his hands, Amalek prevailed. So in the course of his interaction with the Lord, he had come to a point of understanding that in the season of contention, your best bet is to surrender it all to the Lord. It was not the time to look for your best men who are skilled at war. It was not the time to begin to attack issues one after the other. It was the right time to just surrender it all to the Lord. And so Moses took a position on the top of the hill. While Joshua led the army to war, Moses raised his hands to the Lord to surrender and to worship before the Lord. Hallelujah. And how do I know that this was according to the leading of the Lord? You know, because it's not written in the Bible that the Lord told Moses, raise your hand before me. But after the war, the Lord told Moses, document what has just happened. That's how I know that God was part of that plan. So Moses stood on the rock, At a point, he was becoming tired. His hands were failing. And the moment he rested his hand down to rest a bit, the Amalek began to prevail against the Israelites. And then the men who surrounded him helped him lift his hands. You remember in the book of Psalm, and it's a very popular saying in this church, that I lift my hands as the evening sacrifice. The book of Psalm chapter 141, and that was David's account. Now, let me also let you know that the evening sacrifice is a lamb, L-A-M-B, that is sacrificed in atonement of sins for the people. So why is the evening sacrifice very significant? The evening sacrifice mimics the death of Jesus Christ in atonement for our sins. Bible scholars have also researched and they said that the timing of the evening sacrifice was the same timing Jesus was hung on the cross. So when Moses raised his hands, and we are going to raise our hands in the season, I don't know, maybe this is not for everybody, but for some of us who are in our season of contention, some of us who are walking the journey in the wilderness, you know that God is faithful to you, but you are faced with all sorts of challenges. You're going to be lifting your hands to the Lord, and you're going to be lifting your hands in worship, acknowledging God's sacrifice, acknowledging God's love by sending his only begotten son to die for us. And that is why the evening sacrifice is so significant before the Lord. So when you lift your hands, standing in alignment with the evening sacrifice, what you are doing is you are worshiping God, remembering the sacrifice he paid for his son to be sent to us. Hallelujah. So Moses stood on that place and he raised his hand until the war was over. When he became tired, they put stones for him to sit. They lifted the hands for him. And I'm sure, you know, if you lift your hands for a while, it's not so convenient. At a point, you will feel that blood is no longer flowing to your hands. And then before you know it, it becomes very weak, very heavy also. So it's not a convenient thing. That is to tell you that in your season of contention, it will not be easy for you to worship God. It will not be easy for you to praise God. But it is the way out. It will not be convenient for you. We have 5 weeks of praise in church. And I think this is like the third week, Pastor, or is it the fourth week? It will not come easily to you. It won't be a natural response. How many of us, since these 5 weeks of praise has been declared, have had time to praise 1 hour every day since the beginning? That is to tell you that when Moses raised his hand, and the Bible records that his hands were heavy, it is not only because he raised his hand, it's because he was standing in the place of worship. Standing in the place of pure worship, especially in the face of challenges, will be the last option that comes to your mind. But today we are saying no. Today we are saying no. Hallelujah. 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 In the face of contention, all you just want to do is to surrender to the Lord, our Ebenezer. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 12. Isaiah 41 verse 12. We're still going to have a prayer session shortly. But I want you to know what the Lord says when you're in the season of contention. God does not expect you to be the one to fight in this season of contention by yourself. You are a tongue-speaking believer. You are a lover of God, but you don't have what it takes. He is the Lord God Almighty, the one mighty in battle. He does not have that name just for fun. He will not call himself mighty in battle if he doesn't stand at the forefront of the battle to fight. Drop every temptation to help God and let him be the one facing this battle for you. Isaiah 41 and verse 12. And you shall seek those who contend with you, but shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. Why? Isaiah 49:25. Oh, sorry, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, I will hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says it. Fear not. What contention does is to put you in the middle of faith and fear. Choose to run into the arms of faith. Hallelujah. Fear not, I will help you. Oh, when God says I will help you, it is not because he wants you to stand in front and he wants to support you. When God says I will help you, he stands at the forefront and fights the battle for you. Because he is our absolute help. He told Moses back in the book of Exodus chapter 17. He said, record this day. Record the event of today. Do you know why? Because when God fights a battle, he doesn't fight once and for all. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? Because it was later recorded in the book of Samuel that at a point God reminded the Amalekites and said, remember when you fought with my people in Rephidim? I am still after your life. God will not fight your battle once and for all and go back to his throne. He stays there. When you, the enemy has forgotten, God comes again. Remember my daughter. You cheated her 5 years ago. Yes, I forget everything, but I don't forget battles against my children. God will still fight again and again and again and again. But you have to surrender it all to him until you allow him, because you don't have what it takes. Oh, you think you fought that battle and you won, but it will rise again. You don't have what it takes. In your season of contention, God is much more interested in you being at his feet. So the Lord told Moses, record this day, because I will visit it again. And then some years after, the Lord visited again. Said, these people, I've not even finished dealing with you. He killed all of them that day. He said, I've not finished. You still have descendants. You still have generations after you that I have not dealt with because of what you did to my children. I remember again. He said, I will help you. That is an assurance of victory. I will help you. That is an assurance of victory. You just need to hand it up to him. Now, when you lift your hands, Tina, please lift your two hands to the Lord. Drop your biro on the floor. Drop your biro on the floor. Your biro on the floor. And please lift your two hands to the Lord. You know there's no way you can pick that biro. The only way that biro gets up is if someone comes to pick it for you. That is what you are doing today. Because when you lift your hands to God, you are dropping every issue that has held you down. You are dropping every challenge that has confronted you. You are dropping every craziness in the world that has come after your life. And you are saying, Father, I keep my gaze on you. I keep my gaze on you. I am focused on you. I worship you. And watch the Lord pick all these things that you have dropped and crush them right before your face. Isaiah 49 and verse 25. We're going to be rising shortly. Verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captives of the just be delivered? For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty will be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you. I will give safety to your children, and I will ease them. I will make those who oppress you consume themselves in mutually destructive wars, eating their own flesh. They will be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. They will not stop. They will think they are taking wine. They will know that they are draining themselves of life. He says, and all flesh will know, with a knowledge grounded in personal experience, that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Because after the Lord fights for you, he doesn't leave you without a testimony. It doesn't leave you without proof. You are coming out of this season of contention with your proof in your hand that the Lord is your strength and that the Lord fights your battle. Are you ready to look up to his face this morning? Are you ready to look up to his face this morning? Dropping every worry, dropping everything that has held you bound, dropping every challenge that has held you down, and you are surrendering to the Lord in worship this morning and saying, Father, I just want to praise your name. And you know what? As we worship this morning, I want you to hold in your hands your testimonies. Oh, it can't be that bad that you don't have 1, 2, 3 testimonies of the Lord's faithfulness. Oh, how the Lord saw you through, how the Lord delivered you from that car crasher, how the Lord delivered you from that sickness that was really growling at you, how the Lord supplied your need when you had nothing, how the Lord met your parents at the point of need, how the Lord saw you through school, how the Lord helped you in your business, how the Lord has helped you so far in your career. There should be at least 1 or 2 testimonies. When David faced Goliath, he said, the reason I know I will overcome you is because worse than you. Because as far as David was concerned, the lion could not hear, the lion could not talk, the lion had no emotions, the lion could not pity David, but the Lord delivered David from the lion. Worse than you came before, and the Lord gave me victory. Worse than you came before now, and the Lord made me prevail. And so I know you are coming down, Goliath. I'm bringing down your head this morning. That is the same approach you have this morning. There is an attitude to this worship this morning. Hallelujah.